We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. If you don't know who we are, that's who we are. We're Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt. I was supposed to start a brand new sermon series today. It was supposed to be called Fierce Love. It's going to be awesome. But we're going to push that back 1 week. Really felt the Lord put the kibosh on that for 1 week. The Lord really spoke to me this week, and the Lord has something for us today. So are you ready to receive it?
Yes.
I hope you're ready to receive it. I mean, you came all this way. You might as well receive it, right? Okay. I want to tell you, absolutely, I'm completely nervous about this message, right? I get nervous about messages, but this ranks really high up there, Jeff. Ranks really high up there. It has been said that the worst place to stand on an issue is in the middle. It's like standing in the middle of a road, and you get hit from both directions if you stand in the middle of the road. So today, I ask for grace. Everybody listening, I'm going to ask for some grace from you as I take a stand and deliver a message that no one wants to hear. In fact, that's what I'm calling this sermon, the message no one wants to hear. But don't go anywhere. Listen to it, even if you don't want to. All right, it's a message no one wants to hear. We're going to be reading our Bibles today in Luke chapter 13. I'd love for you to follow along in your Bible. You go ahead and open up your little phone, pull it up, or your actual Bible analog with pages. I love that. And if not, we can follow along on the screen. Our world is full of issues. And people will insist that you take a stand on the issue. It's really hard to just stand around and not take a stand on an issue, isn't it? People will not be happy until you take their stance on an issue also, right? This is human nature. Here's just a few examples. Please don't be mad at me. I'm not actually taking a stand. I'm just pointing it out. COVID-19. Have tensions been high over how we should respond to COVID-19? Yeah. We've got people that say, we aren't doing enough to stop it. And then we have the other side saying, we're overreacting. We don't need to be doing anything. And look, good luck standing in the middle. They will both throw their opinions at you and expect you to jump on board. Moving on, right? Yes. Politics. Oh, good Lord. Red or blue? There's no such thing as purple. Red or blue? Right there. Pro-choice or pro-life? Well, you know, I think, no, you're wrong. Don't give us your opinion. You either take stand with us or that's all there is. Socialism or capitalism? That list goes on and on. And then this year, there's been tragic deaths of black men at the hands of white men, and they've been caught on video. The deaths have been senseless, they've been hateful, and readily available right there on your Facebook newsfeed. Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd are just two of those names. And they need justice. Such awful things should not happen in America. They shouldn't happen anywhere on God's earth. And there really shouldn't be an argument about that. Amen? Right? There shouldn't be. But yet, we have found some arguments. Right? How we should protest. Protest versus riot. And it's really difficult to raise your voice on that, and it's really difficult to stand in the middle on that issue, right? How about this? Back the blue versus all police are the problem, and like little wiggle room in the middle to even have a discussion. It gets difficult. Yeah. So we have these issues, and then we have factions of people surrounding the issues, and they're pointing at you, and they are demanding that you take a stand with them. So what stand will you take today? Great question is this. What stand would Jesus take? Yeah. What stand do you think he would take? That would be a really good question for the Church of Jesus Christ to answer. Right. But we should know the answer to that as followers of Christ, right? What stand are you taking, the Lord? And I will take that stand with you. A situation just like this arose in Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Now there were some present at that time who had told Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. So, right here, first verse, chapter 13. People bring a multi-layered issue to Jesus. A lot of our issues are multi-layered. They aren't just as simple as yes or no. They aren't just as simple as white and black. There's a little shade of gray in them. And these people want to know where Jesus stands on the issue. Don't you agree? That's why they brought him that question. Where do you stand on this issue? And let's look at what some of this issue contains. This issue contains injustice. It contains the abuse of power. It contains racism. Do you see this in verse 1 of chapter 13 of Luke? Pilate, who is Pilate? He's a governmental leader, right? Roman governor. And he had evidently ordered the killing of Galilean men. Pilate had no jurisdiction over the area of Galilee. Newsflash, who had jurisdiction over the area of Galilee? Herod, King Herod. And we see that they kind of have an issue later in the story of Jesus. They're sending Jesus one to another. They had issue. And here's some of the issue they have right here. Herod had rule over the area of Galilee, and it seems likely that Pilate used his power as governor in Jerusalem to have men from Galilee killed when they walked into his territory. I can't go to Galilee and kill your people, but you watch them walk into my area, and you watch what I do to your people, Herod. The Galileans came to Jerusalem. Why? To offer sacrifices. Where do they go to offer sacrifices? Well, Jerusalem. They go to the temple. Everyone following me? So here they are. They've come to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices. These are sin sacrifices. They came to have their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And it was there that Pilate evidently had them killed. These Galileans had done nothing wrong. Agreed. Yet they found themselves in the middle of a power struggle between two rulers named Pilate and Herod. These innocent Galileans suffered injustice and they lost their lives. And by the way, the root of it all was racism and power. And now a group of people want to know where Jesus stands on this issue. Jesus, where do you stand on this issue? But it's not the only issue, is it? Look closely at these verses. This one verse. The Galileans had come to offer the blood of a lamb and gain forgiveness of their sins. Yet their sacrifice had become impure when their blood mixed with the blood of the sacrifice. Get this picture. Remember that this was a religious system where if you accidentally touched the Ark of the Covenant, you would die. No do-overs. Not like, you accidentally bumped into it. Just be careful next time. No, you dead. Look at somebody and say, you dead. That is the religious system right here that they're living in. If you accidentally did not keep a commandment, you could still receive punishment. Do you understand this? Do you get this picture? So these Galileans not only lost their lives, but their own blood caused their sacrifice of sin, to be nullified. Jesus, where do you stand on this issue? I would tell you as you look at this verse, that's how it's cleverly crafted. We got a problem with Pilate, but we also got a problem with these Galileans. Because even as they're dying, they're nullifying their own sacrifice. They died without a sacrifice to their sin. Jesus, who are you going to condemn in this? Now, this isn't the only time in your Bible where Jesus has brought that kind of question. Who are you going to condemn in this one, Jesus? Sometimes they even brought a woman caught in the act of adultery before him, waiting for him to condemn her. So that's what's happening here. Will you condemn Pilate of his hatred, of his injustice, of his murder, and his racism? Will you condemn those who fall short of full obedience to the command of God? Will you condemn those who are unholy and bring their state of unholiness in contact with your temple, in contact with your holiness? They bring their unholiness. Will you condemn them, Jesus? Jesus, where do you stand on this issue? Often Jesus was asked tricky questions, right? Often to try to get him to say something that would get him arrested or killed. Or there's another side of that, or to divide his base, to separate his followers, a divide and conquer strategy. If Jesus publicly speaks out against Pilate, Pilate could have him killed. By the way, a lot hang in the balance of this, right? Certain things need to be done in order to fulfill prophecy, so things have to be done at just the right time according to God's plan. So this was a big deal. He could have been accused of causing an insurrection or a rebellion against Rome. If Jesus publicly now speaks out against the Galileans, the other side of this argument, he could lose a great number of his followers, right? In fact, a lot of his disciples, you know those 12 dudes? A lot of them are from what area?
Galilee.
The Pharisees often brought questions to Jesus with the purpose of entrapping him and dividing his followers. So, I'm going to tell you something. Here's something we can't really help as humans. We have opinions, and we like to hear other people have our same opinions. Right? I've touched on some of these things today, like, you know, the issues of our moment, of the last 5 seconds. These are the issues. And there might be part of you going, oh, man, he's talking about, oh, man, I hope he agrees with me. I hope I'm not going to have to leave this church because the pastor doesn't agree with me on some issue. Right? I get it. That's a human nature thing. You hear people present an opinion. You're like, oh, I hope they nail this. I hope they get it right because I'm the one who gets it right, of course, right? You follow me on this? We have opinions. We like to hear people have the same opinion. We often get upset when people have different opinions and take different stands than we do. So the crowd was really interested, don't you think, in what Jesus had to say? Don't you think that the whole crowd just got really quiet? Because everybody's like, I wonder if he agrees with me. Depending on how Jesus answers this, it's likely 50% of the crowd are going to really like his answer, and 50% of the crowd are going to go, you crazy, Jesus, and not like his answer. And yet Jesus pulls a wild card when he gives them an answer that 100% of the people do not want to hear. Jesus Christ gives them the message no one wants to hear. Look at the stand Jesus makes here in Luke chapter 13. Jesus doesn't point at Pilate. Man, they wanted him to. Jesus does not point at the Galileans. You know who Jesus points at? He points at you. He points at them all. Verse 2 through 3. Look at this. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. Here's his stand. No. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Jesus doesn't point at Pilate, doesn't point at the Galileans. Jesus points at us, and he says, repent. Can somebody say repent?
Repent.
When people thought about the questions, when it was asked and everyone hushed to hear the answers, no one expected Jesus to take this wild card, third option stance. It was the message that no one wanted to hear. So I want to ask you this. Think about this with me. Think. Was Jesus wimping out? Do y'all think Jesus was wimping out here? Was Jesus afraid to face Pilate? Oh man, I better not say anything against the power and the authority of the governor of Rome, because, you know, he could have me killed. He could put an end to all this, right? Was Jesus afraid of Pilate? What do you say? No. How do we know? Because Jesus looks Pilate in the eye later in the Gospels and tells Pilate, Pilate, you have no power except the power and authority my Father has given to you. What a gracious thing to tell him. Was he afraid when he told him that? No, he was not afraid of Pilate. In this situation, if you think Jesus was wimping out, calling out the injustice, if he was wimping out, calling out racism, you're wrong. That's not it at all. That was not the point that Jesus was facing at that moment. So was Jesus afraid of dividing his followers? Is that why he didn't call out the Galileans for falling short of the command of God? No. Jesus clearly divides his followers later in the Gospels, right? Like, they basically all leave him when he says these words, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you're going to have no eternal life inside of you. And they all got up and said, what a weirdo. How can he dare say that? And they were like grabbing their purses and their coats and they leave. And his disciples almost leave. And Jesus looks at them and says, y'all going to leave too? And look at what Peter says. He doesn't say, no, I'm with you to the end. He says, do you know of a better place to go? Basically, he says that. He says, where else can we go to find the words of life? If there were another place to go, yeah, Jesus, we'd be out of here. John, can I ride the camel with you? I mean, no, Jesus doesn't care if you leave him. He's going to tell you the truth either way. Stay or go, he's not afraid of that. He's not doing this to amass a huge following. He's doing this to save your life. Yes. That's Jesus. I want to tell you today, Jesus doesn't wimp out. He's not wimping out in this story. Newsflash, telling people what they do not want to hear is not wimping out. It's courageous. The message that no one wants to hear, Jesus gives it to us. Continuing on in the chapter, verse 4 now. Or those 18, Jesus said, who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. I want you to get this picture. So we've already got a hairy situation. We got governmental control. We've got religious order. Now, the question, Jesus just muddies up the water. He really makes it complicated. The question was already complicated. He makes it more complicated. He adds a theological worldview conundrum to the problem. Were the men killed because God in his sovereignty decided to knock down the tower on these guilty people? Or is it a free will, God reigns on the just and unjust kind of situation, and it's just a construction accident that killed the people? You talk about dividing an audience. Because the question of free will and God's sovereignty divides a lot of Christians today. In fact, some of the nastiest comments I get on YouTube is about that very subject right there. By the way, church, y'all leave your pastor a nice comment sometime on YouTube. I don't know how Vicky has all these different accounts. I'm sure it's her every time. Just the question of free will and God's sovereignty. Man, Christians have been arguing about that for a long time, for centuries. And Jesus just plops that one out there for them to think about also. And guess what? Doesn't answer it. Thanks a lot, Jesus. You could have solved the whole issue right there. We'd never ask about it again. But no, that wasn't his point. Instead, he only has one point. And he makes one brave stand, and it's found in one word, repent. 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 That's the message we all need to hear. Yes, God. Repent. What does it mean? To turn from sin and turn back Jesus. to God to confess that you are a sinner, to confess your sin. No, actually tell Jesus, yes, what I did was wrong. It's a sin, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to turn to you. That's what repentance is. And when you do that, he forgives you. He forgives you. Even if your blood mingles with the wrong sacrifice, Jesus will forgive you if you'll just confess that you're a sinner. This is the message we don't want to hear, but we all need to hear. This world has many issues. We've only scratched the surface, right? I mean, they get real hairy real quick. I mean, is Nicolas Cage really the best actor of our generation? These are really important. We have so many issues in this world. We have many people taking sides, many people voicing their opinion. But what we really need right now is an attitude and a posture of repentance. Right. It's the one thing that's actually not happening, in my opinion, in the world right now. So does Jesus not care about fill in the blank? You bring these issues to Jesus and he tells you to repent? Is his answer throwing shade or throwing a lack of care to the issues of our world today? Does Jesus not care about fill in the blank? And whatever your fill in the blank is, the thing, the issue that you hold dear to your heart. I want you to ask a question. Does Jesus not care about fill in the blank? Does this mean that Jesus doesn't care about the injustice of Pilate? If he doesn't care about the injustice of Pilate, maybe he doesn't care about injustice in our world. And that would be really, that'd be hard to receive, wouldn't it? Does this mean that Jesus doesn't care about the commands of God? That would create a conundrum, wouldn't it? Does this mean that Jesus doesn't care about theology and faith questions and my struggle with faith and trying to figure it out? Does Jesus just not even care about that? Does this mean that heaven doesn't care about the issues on earth? Does this mean the church of Jesus, because we are the body of Jesus Christ, does that mean that we shouldn't care about the issues of the world? We should just sing our praise song, take up the offering, preach a little sermon and go home and ignore the plight of the world. Too bad for you. You should have come to church. Is that what we're supposed to do? Is this what's going on here? Does Jesus care about fill in the blank? I want to tell you that Scripture is very clear that Jesus cares. Jesus cares about all your struggles. He cares about all your fears. He says whatever you care about it, cast it upon him because he cares for you. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Yes, that's what it says. And Scripture is also clear that Jesus cares about justice. Can we talk about justice for a moment? Psalm 89 and 14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. If God doesn't care about justice, then his throne is faulty. Do you think he has a faulty throne? Or do you think his throne is going to stand forever?
Yes. Amen.
Repeatedly, your Bible calls God just, yes, meaning that he is full of justice. Repeatedly, your Bible calls us to be just,
yes,
and to be full of justice. So if we have a God who cares about justice, should we care about justice?
Yes.
Oh, but that didn't happen to me. That is not an excuse. We have a God who cares about justice. And we are to love our neighbor if it happened to our neighbor. We should love them as it happened to us. Love them as you love yourself. So you should care for them just like it happened to you and to your household. Psalm 82 and 3 says this, provide justice for the needy and the fatherless. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute.
Yes.
Isaiah 1 and 17. Learn to do right. Man, we could just preach a sermon on that for a little bit, right? Learn to do right. What are the next two words? Seek justice. Defend who? The oppressed. Have we been defending ourselves? Are we going to defend the oppressed? You see, that's where all the arguments go, right? In the middle of everybody getting on different sides of the issue and pointing, everybody's defending themselves. And meanwhile, we've got a dead body in the road, and no one's defending the dead body. No one's defending that which is hurt. No one's defending the oppressed. No one. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, O person, human being, you and me, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? That's a real good question. Here it is. To act justly. There's that justice. And to love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. I'm telling you, those three things right there, we could solve most of the world's problems if we would learn to walk justly, act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Three things we need in our world. It's also three things that God requires of you today. How are you doing with those three things? Luke 11:42. Let's go into the New Testament. Here's Jesus. He says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs." So they are tithing on their herbs, right? Anybody have one of those little spinny herb things in your, like with all your spices? You got oregano in there, you got some thyme in there, you got some cinnamon in there. They're taking that out and they're taking off 10% and they're giving that to the Lord, all right? All right. That's not what Jesus is mad about. Jesus is mad that they're doing this, but not this. But you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Are we leaving something undone, church? Neglecting justice and neglecting the love of God. I want to point this picture out to you, that we could come in here, we could sing about the love of God and walk out and neglect the love of God in the face of the next person we see. Say amen if it's right.
Amen.
All right. The question is not, does God care about George Floyd? That's not the question. The question is not, does God care about violence in the street? It's not even a question. Does a God care about disease? Does he care about hunger? Does he care about pain? God cares about justice. The question is, does the church care about it? If God cares about it, the church must also care about it. Y'all can't say amen. Y'all made me feel a little better. It's gotten hot in here. What is it? Here is the point of Jesus' message in Luke 13, and it's our message today. Here it is. Justice starts with repentance. Justice starts with repentance. Can you say that sentence wherever you are, listening, watching online? Let's say it together. Justice starts with repentance. You cannot walk justly until after you've repented. You cannot bring healing until after you repented. The change the world needs can't take place without you starting with repentance. Do you agree with this?
Yeah.
Does this make sense to you?
Yeah.
I believe it's Jesus' point here in Luke chapter 13. His point isn't that he's putting down the plight of everybody Pilate's hurting. He's not putting down the religious code. He's not putting down any of those things. He's lifting up the importance of repentance above all things. If you take a stand to heal the world, I'm going to take a stand to heal the world. And if you set out to accomplish it, I'm going to go out and I'm going to heal the world. But you don't start with repentance, guess what you're going to end up doing? You're going to only end up causing more damage. You listen to me. I believe that's true with all my heart. I believe that if we're not careful, we'll fall right into that trap today. We have all seen movements that made a stand for change only to cause the exact same damage. Right? Literally. Oh my gosh. There are environmental groups that make stands of, we gotta save the planet. Let's have a big meeting and come together. And they all come and they fill up this whole place and they leave and the trash is everywhere after they've gathered. It's like, wait, y'all are doing the exact same thing that you set out not to fix. Right? We've seen this. If you're environmentalist, that's cool. We'll go pick up trash together. I care about the environment. I'm not putting that down. We've all seen people make a stand for peace only to see it soon devolve into violence. Seen it. Seeing it on the nightly news. We've seen politicians go to Washington, D.C. They're going to fight corruption. And what do you end up seeing? They fall right into the corruption. I'm not wrong. We've all seen people make stands against abuse only to become abusive. The Jesus who loves justice didn't start by pointing at Pilate. We wanted him to, but he didn't. He pointed at us. He said, repent. The Jesus who loves holiness. He didn't start by pointing to the shortcomings of the Galileans. Oh, we wanted him to. But he didn't. He started by pointing at us. If you really want to change the world, do we want to change the world?
Yes, God.
Does the world need changing?
Yes.
Does the world need saving?
Yes.
Does it need healing? If you really want all of that, if you really understand that you're called to make a difference in the world, start by pointing at yourself and repenting. Repentance, that's the message we all need to hear. We're bringing all these questions to Jesus, and the only stand he takes is to repent. Here's why. This is why. It's all about the heart. Your heart needs to be changed through repentance before you can really bring positive change to the world. Do you think your Bible backs this up? It does. It's good. That's why I'm preaching on it. There it is. Proverbs 4 and 23, above all else, guard your heart. Why? For everything you do flows from it. In other words, if you don't fix your heart,
Jesus.
If you don't fix your heart, broken things are going to come out of your heart. How do you fix your heart? It's called repentance. If you set out to fight prejudice but have not repented of your own prejudice, you'll end up spreading more prejudice. You can't help it. It's going to flow out of your heart. You got to guard your heart because everything flows out of it. It's all about the heart. Proverbs 27 and 19 says this, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. You ever look into body water and you see your reflection in it, right? Your life is a reflection of your heart. We're wondering why the world looks the way it does. The world looks as ugly as it does. Why is there such hatred in the world? Why is there such racism? Why is there such disparity? Why is there such anger? Why is there such judgment? Why? Our hearts. That's why our lives look like that. That's it. You want to change your life? You need to change your heart. Because your life is a reflection of your heart. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart. Who's saying this? The Lord, God, your God. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Real change starts where? Starts inside. We're living in a world where everybody's pointing outside to those people over there. It's those people over there. It's them over there. And Jesus walks right up and says, no, let's start right here. Repent. Repent. Real change starts in the heart. Real change starts with the Spirit of God coming to live in the heart. That's where the change happens. Joel chapter 2, 12 through 13. Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. I kind of feel like he's saying that to us tonight. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. It says this, rend your heart. You know what it means to rend? Yes. To rip it, to tear it. Rend your heart and not your garments. And this is like something that was in the culture. They would put on a big show. If they're really outraged or they're really angry, they would rip their clothes. In fact, Caiaphas, the high priest at the trial of Jesus, that sham of a trial, what does he do? He makes his point and then he rips his clothes. It was to really show his anger. God says, rip your heart up, not your clothes. It's easy to rip your tunic. It's easy to rip your shirt. But to rip your heart up, when you rip your heart up, that changes you. You don't just go buy a new heart. You have to get a new heart from the Lord. Yes. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Redemption Church, will we return to the Lord today with our whole heart? Is anybody willing to fast and to weep and to mourn? Is anybody willing to stop ripping their clothes, doing an outward sign, and really reach in and rend our hearts before the Lord? Look at somebody, say, fix your heart. Now, they said it to you, say it back to them. Well, you fix your heart. Fix your heart. How's your heart today? How's your heart today? Repent, and your heart will be so much better. Repent. Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you've done wrong. Turn away from it. Make that change in your life. God is going to wash you clean. You're going to feel so much better. You're going to feel so much closer, and you're going to have a love for God and a love for other people. That'll fix your heart. Your heart is the one thing you can take control of. Right now, through repentance, you can take control of your heart. Can you track down every case of abuse? No, let's all get, no, we just don't have enough people. If we had enough people, we'd be able to track down every case of abuse, right? Wrong. No, never. Look, we just get more people in here. We'll like have pitchforks and torches and run through the city and go, are you abusing somebody? Get them. And then thereby abusing them, right? Good luck tracking down every racist. Can you track down every racist? No. You can't. You can't control every racist. I don't care how cleverly crafted your Facebook post was. It didn't turn around the lives of every racist in the world. It didn't. It didn't. Can you vote out every corrupt politician? Not on your life, you can't. You cannot do it. If you voted for the rest of your life, you will never vote out every corrupt politician. What am I saying here? You can't control these things. You've got like zero control over this. Do you realize this? Right. What you have control over is your heart and what you do with it today. If you will rend your heart, if you will repent today, you will take control of the one thing that can change your world. You will take care of the one thing that you can actually bring change to. By the way, that's where our whole world is. We're trying to control all the situations around us when we have not taken the moment to control our own heart. You could spend your whole life trying to do this good and fail, and you will fail. But you can change your heart today and you'll succeed. And it can change your life forever. It can change your family forever. It can change a lineage. It can change your church. It can change your city. It can change your school. It can change your work. It can change everything. There's no telling where a decision to change your heart today will end up and the lengths that it can reach. So let's fix our hearts today. Fix your heart. Then go fix the world. Only after you have repented of your sins and been forgiven are you really equipped to bring good in the world. You need to fix your heart, then go fix the world. Can you say that? Fix your heart, then go fix the world. You don't go fix the world and then go fix your heart. Don't you dare do it. And when you go out to heal the world, you need to take the same message that healed you. What's the message that healed you? What's the message that set you free? What's the message that brought you hope and brought you victory and brought you value? What is that message? It is the message of Jesus Christ on the cross. Don't you dare try to go out and fix the world and leave Jesus somewhere back at home. Don't you dare do it. It's not going to work. That's not going to do it. You listen to me, world. We are filled with the world right now that they are running around trying to do anything to fix the world when Jesus Christ can fix their world in an instant if they would just repent. The gospel is still the answer for the world. Don't you dare forget it. Don't you dare forget it. It was the answer that saved you. Don't you now forget it and think there's some other answer for the world. I've been very concerned in my heart about the church's response to all of this. We have to make Jesus at the center of our response. We should respond. We should go out to help our world, to heal our world, to go lift up the downtrodden. But if they don't allow us to bring Jesus into that equation, it is, sorry, we have to bring Jesus into everything that we do. He's the reason that we love. He is the reason that we see beyond color. He is the reason that we reach into our pocket and we give of ourselves. We give our time, we give our money, we give our effort. He is the reason and nothing else. I want to tell you what we have in common. What we all have in common is this: we perish without God's life. We perish. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all perish. Is that what he said? Yeah. With all our differences, this is something we all share in common. Do you agree? All our differences. The truth is that we all share this thing, that we will all perish. We will all perish unless we repent and receive God's life, his eternal life in Jesus. And unless we fix our hearts, we're just going to perish. I want you to understand this, that Jesus, this is the same Jesus who on two occasions, we all can quote the one, what's the shortest scripture in the Bible? It's Jesus wept. And some people think mistakenly that's the only time he weeps. Wrong. That's wrong. There's two occasions specifically I'm thinking about right now where he weeps. And it's when he looks at Jerusalem. He looks at Jerusalem. He doesn't give any commentary on it. But he weeps for Jerusalem. Do you know why he was weeping? He was weeping because he knew they were going to reject God. And in a few generations, 70 AD, the city was going to be burnt to the ground. That there would not be a single stone left of the temple. Didn't he say that? There will not be a single stone left of this temple. And when he looks at Jerusalem, he sees the great injustice that is going to happen to that city. He sees the murder and the pain. He sees children being ripped from their parents. He sees people running for their life, losing their loved ones. And when he sees Jerusalem, he weeps. Don't you dare think Jesus doesn't weep over the travesty happening in our world today. He weeps over injustice. He weeps over sex trafficking. Jesus Christ cares. When was the last time you wept? Unless we all repent, we too will perish. The people Jesus is talking to in Luke chapter 13, they're worrying about the perishing of those Galileans. They're worrying about the perishing of the people under the tower. And Jesus is looking at them and he says, you're going to perish too. He knew it. He knew they were going to perish in the very city that they were standing. The only hope for them was to repent. Can I tell you? Injustice is coming to your house. It doesn't care if you're a Christian or not. It doesn't care about the color of your skin. Injustice is going to come to you. Oppression, hatred. Somebody is going to do something awful to you. Jesus knows it. The answer for you is to repent. Now you listen to me, because we're Americans and we live pretty cushy lives. The worst of us drives a car wherever we're going. The worst of us gets our air conditioner fixed so it feels good in the summer. The worst, the lowest of us have food plenty in our refrigerator. That's the American life right there. But you listen to me. Jesus knows the future for us. He knows injustice that's coming. Listen to me, America. It will not always be the way it is. And trouble's coming to our household. And our only answer, you comfortable American Christians, you listen to me. The only answer for you is to repent, to find the life of Jesus Christ. That's what it is all about. So let's repent today. Jesus can fix your heart today if you will repent. Ask Jesus to fix your heart. Repent of racism. Repent of greed. Repent of hatred. Oh, repent of all sin. Maybe you have had a church-going heart. Maybe you've come to church. Maybe you've had a repentant heart. But you've had an inactive life. Maybe you've not been active in helping your community. Maybe you've walked right past the Samaritan, like in the Good Samaritan story. Maybe you've walked right past your community in need. Will you repent of that today? Let's repent of that today. Maybe you've been real quick to judge other people. Maybe you have actually judged people because they don't take the same stance as you. Maybe they don't vote the way you do. Maybe they don't have the same thoughts about things that you, and you've actually, can you repent of that today? Let's repent. All over this place, can we make this a place of repentance today? Can we make it a place where we rend our hearts to the Lord? These altars are open right now. I want them packed out today. I want us to pray in this altar today. I want us to reach out to the Lord. If you want someone to pray with you, you come right in the front. We will pray with you. But I want you to do something right now for your pastor. I want you to get a hold of God. I want you to pray repentance. God, forgive me. Confess your sin. Call it out. Name it. Tell God where you've fallen short. and change it. Turn towards God in this house. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us, God, to be people of action. Lord, help us to be fixing our hearts and then going out and fixing this world. Help us to do it in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone watching, listening online. Lord, let them call on you. Let them find healing. Let them find the deliverance in their heart, Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those that are being oppressed in our world, in this nation and throughout the world right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the Church of Jesus Christ would repent, that the Church of Jesus Christ would be moved to weeping, and that we'd be moved to action, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, put it in our hearts, God. Let us bring change to the world in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's talk to God. Come on, lift it up in this place. Don't be shy about it. Reach out. We're changing the world right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.